a special day still identified among the feasts of God. The Feast of Yahweh, I'd like to remind you in verse 2, going back. These are not Jewish. They're not Christian. They're not for white people. They're not for black people. They're not any particular peoples. Because our great, everlasting, almighty Father, Jehovah, Yahweh, said himself in Leviticus 23:2, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. They're his. You want to be part of him? Be with him. These are times that he has set forth for him and for us that would be with him, that would be his. And that brings us back after the Day of Atonement to the final celebrations, the Feast of Tabernacles. In verse 34, the Lord himself again spoke unto Moses, and said, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no work, no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire. Every day you offer him up something that you let go of, give completely. Here, this is yours. Again, whether that's a monetary offering or some special period of time that you set aside just to pray to him or to praise him, something of yourself that you give up and say, I'm giving this up for you. In fact, you got 7 days of it there. It might even be good to pick something different every day. We just sang before entering this message to count your blessings. I know that each of you has got more than 7 blessings. In fact, I'd say you'd have a hard time putting a number on the blessings that you have. So offer up blessing unto him at this time. Pick something different every day. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time in praise. Give him something that special to you that you're going to let him have, an offering of some sort. And then we rejoice in him. Verse 36 says, on the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And we read in the book of John where this was called the last great day, which enters the beginning of eternity. As we end that time in praise and thanksgiving, 7 days of praise and thanksgiving followed by a solemn assembly on the 8th day, all to rejoice, which is what we'll be doing throughout eternity. Again, these are rehearsals, and this is a rehearsal for eternity. To take out and set aside this time, 8 days, to praise and rejoice and just be in his presence and bless him as we receive his blessing for the year of harvest. Turn now to Numbers 28. That concludes the feast seasons. Although it began with the time of Sabbath. And we end now in Numbers 28. Leviticus is missing one of the great days set forth that is covered here in Numbers 28 and verse 11. That is the time of the new moon. Now, Numbers 28 covers all the same days. Numbers 28 and 29, actually, goes into more detail. Covers all the same days of Leviticus 23, but it's missing one. That's the day of first fruits. So we need to use both Leviticus and Numbers to find all these days. And that's a lesson also for us to remember, that we need to use the whole body of Scripture. Every verse, all reconciled together. Because if we go picking and choosing which parts we want or which parts we like, and we're going to miss something. In Numbers 28, verses 11 through 15, we read of, in verse 11, "And in the beginnings of your months you shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord." And it gives 4.5 verses of offerings for praise, for drink offering, for sin offering, for an offering by fire. There's all kinds of offerings offered up here. This is a time that takes a while. That's why we set the whole day aside. Never will you find in Scripture that the day of the new moon is called a Sabbath. But you'll always find it, well, not always, but in nearly every instance, and there's about 40 of those, so it's a lot, it's mentioned with the Sabbath, and quite often with the feast days. And when you read how they observed it, in 1 Samuel and Amos and various scriptures, it was with special feasting. It was with setting the time aside. It was with going to service. When a woman was going to go to Elijah, and her husband said, "Well, why are you going to see the man of God for? This isn't Sabbath, and it's not the new moon. So we know it's a time to go to the house of God and to feast in Him. So we keep it here as a Sabbath because it's treated as a Sabbath in Scripture. It's a time to reflect upon the past month. That's not too much for anybody to remember. Instead of the past year, most people do throughout the world, the New Year celebration. Just to reflect on the last month and see the good things we've accomplished for Him and how we can build on those things. So we renew ourselves and we refresh ourselves on that day and renew our commitments unto Him every month, along with the seventh-day Sabbath, which is a time of rest and restoration. These are the times of Jehovah, times of the Lord Almighty, especially set aside for us to be with Him in rehearsal, in practice, in celebration before our good, kind, loving Father in heaven and here on earth beneath. By His Spirit, He lives within us. He's here with us, all about us, to lead us and guide us into all truth, so that on that blessed day when He returns and leads us into eternity, we're ready to be with Him, to reign and rule with Him. A glorious time. That's what this week has been all about, setting aside this week to look at having sin put away from our lives, which we began with Passover, and continuing with the purification of the ways that we think, the ways that we walk in, to walk in His ways, to remind ourselves of that repentance that is necessary for salvation by the waters of baptism, that leads us then to raise up and walk in newness of life, which we can't do successfully without His Spirit, and that's why we set forth our own feet to walk in His ways, giving up ourselves, the first and best that we are, unto Him, to receive His Pentecostal blessing of His Spirit, which we read in the Old Testament and New, is the only way you can keep His ways and His law. And that leads us unto His return again for those who've walked in His ways and followed after Him according to His Word and His Spirit, so that on that great day of judgment we can humbly and willingly bow before Him and cry, "Abba, Father, Master, Lord, I'm so grateful for what You've done." And be called to enter in unto His presence, unto joy unspeakable, full of glory, to praise and worship Him throughout the eternity that Tabernacles represents. That's the whole plan of God. That's why he said, these are my feasts. Because they teach us and keep us ever before him so that we can have salvation in him and life everlasting. Somebody look up that. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's where we'll end this service with. As we come to a close of the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
299
was it? What was that, Mary? 18 in the softback and 299 in the hardback, whichever one you got handy there. 18 or 299. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's his Holy Spirit. Paul said the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told us every time we pray to begin our prayer with praise of him and then to pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. His kingdom is him within you, and his will is that all should have his kingdom within.